We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre America. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. 71 degrees at Hollis. That's the warmest temperature in western Oklahoma at the moment. 67 at Eric, 68 at Cheyenne, 64 at Arnett. Lahoma, 63. Alva 62, slap out 67 out here in the panhandle of Texas. Let's see what's happening out there. Lipscomb, you're 70. Wellington, you are, where's Wellington? There it is. A hair scroll out there a little bit. There we go. Now I know where everybody's at. Wellington, 73 degrees. And Odell, you're 76 degrees. So anyway, got a lot going on today. Get on with this Taylor Ranch beef happy hour. But anyway, I'll have your Lipscomb's Dealership's Ag Market update coming up here pretty quick. Mr. Spencer Smith's going to be in here, and we're going to be talking about getting the planter to the point where you're putting a seed in the ground here in just a few minutes. So we'll move on. First, let's find out what happened overnight in the big world. Looks like everything's in the red today except for cotton. Grain and soybean futures were again lower overnight amid improving prospects for crops in the U.S. and Canada. Rains in the U.S. Northern Plains likely improved conditions for spring wheat that had been planted there, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist for Maxar. Dry weather will persist in central parts of the region, but improvements are expected next week, the forecaster said. Half the U.S. winter wheat crop was rated good or excellent as of Sunday, up from 49% a week earlier, according to the USDA. Corn and beans have benefited from rain in parts of Minnesota, Iowa, and Missouri in recent days. Widespread rain should further improve moisture for corn and soybeans, especially in the north, central, eastern, and far central areas. In Canada, meanwhile, precipitation this week will benefit areas in central and southern Alberta and parts of wheat futures for July delivery fell 5.5 cents to $6.37 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures lost 8.25 cents to $6.55 and a quarter a bushel. Corn futures were down 1 penny to $4.66 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery lost 2.5 cents to $12.44 a bushel. Soy meal rose $2 to $3.85.20 a short ton, and soy oil dropped 0.53 cents to $43.97 a pound overnight. The USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service issued a clarification to a federal order issued last month concerning the threat of the bird flu. Any lactating dairy cattle being moved state to state required a certificate of veterinarian inspection, with states receiving the animals will track movement. All cattle on the CVI will require to have an official ID, and the certificate must show the cattle are free from nor have been exposed to known an infectious disease. There are no exceptions to the rule, according to these guys. Per the federal order, all lactating dairy cattle must have both a negative test and approved National Animal Health Laboratory Network laboratory using a NAHLN approved assay prior to interstate movement. 9 states now have outbreaks of the bird flu, with 36 dairy herds affected, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The disease has been detected in 9,296 wild birds at the start of the month, and more than 90.8 million poultry in 48 states and have been affected. Weather-wise, in our ag belt, flood watches, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio, according to the National Weather Service. Excessive rainfalls in south-central Missouri led to watches and warnings. Up to 6 inches of rain is expected in that area today. 2 to 4 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in the past 2 weeks. And southern Ohio, 1 to 3 inches of rain has already fallen, pushing waterways over their banks. So all kinds of flooding going on in some of our central states there. All right, let's go ahead and check out, while waiting on Spencer to get here, let's go ahead and check out the Lipscomb's Dealership Ag Market Update. Oh, FYI, I went over to the Lipscomb Ford dealership in Sarah yesterday on my way to Cheyenne, got my oil change, bam. No bull, just got her done. I asked for a fuel filter, got her done. And anyway, all went well. So let's check out their ag market update here. Corn, presently right now, 446 for May, down 7.5. July's 458, down 8.25. Soybeans for May, 1224, down 7.5. July, 1232, down 14.5. Soybean meals, May, 375, down 240. July's 379.90, down 330. Soybean oil for May, 4403, up 18. July's 44.14, down 36. Hard red winter wheat, May 670, down 3.5. And July is 650, down 13.25. Looky here. Cotton's in the green today. May cotton 77, up 44. July 79.85, up 235. West Texas intermediate crude oil, June 78.80, up 42. And natural gas is down, June 217, down 3. Looks like the S&P and the NASDAQ are in the red, and the Dow's up a little bit. Live cattle for June, 176.67, down 95. August, 174.40, down 112. Feeder cattle for May, 240.27, down 187. August, 252.65, down 177. September, 253.65, down 180. Lean hogs, May, 92.70, up 17. June, 98.92, up 60. How about that? So, nothing really crazy going on with those markets, but we always like to see everything in the green as far as what we're concerned out here. Taylor Ranch. Taylor Ranch's entire operation is geared towards one thing: creating a great eating experience for their customers. They start by selecting the best carcass genetics available that enhance both flavor and tenderness. They are hands-on every day as they develop each calf so it will reach its full genetic potential. They then put the calves on feed, in some cases as many as 200 days. This optimizes and unlocks their full genetic potential and gives the consumer that juicy, mouth-watering, memorable eating experience. Taylor Ranch develops every animal that is going to be served on their own table. Quarter, halves, and whole beef for sale. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. That's Taylor Ranch beef. Call Mr. Jimmy at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. All right, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, we got more ag to talk about coming up.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlannersCottonGin.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
May the 7th, XIT Auctions is selling 160 acres of good Ouachita County grassland, including revised wind turbine production of approximately 65 $536 a year. 4 miles east of Rocky, Oklahoma, to Road 2240, then a quarter mile north. For information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call auctioneer Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or see all the details at xitauctions.com.
XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see here. Let's get some ag weather. Currently here in our studio on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we have 70.7 degrees. The winds are out of the, northeast? 12.8 here. Humidity's at 39. Here's your ag weather update for the Texas Panhandle. I picked the big city of Lipscomb. 70 degrees. Relative humidity 19, dew points 27, northeast winds at 15. Check this out. Peak wind gust today already 51 miles an hour. Month to date precipitation 0.92, so 92 one-hundredths of an inch. 8-inch soil temperature 64 degrees. All right. What did I do? Oh, before Spencer comes on, there was a conversation this morning at the round table. And I just wanted to, I looked it up on my phone, so I got it up here on the computer. So you hear about all this crap about climate warming, climate's, it's just getting it on, climate change. I think there's always climate change going on. I'm not a non-believer in that, but global warming and stuff like that, and precipitation, the Western Oklahoma's turning into a desert and stuff. So I looked it up. And compared it on the Mezzanet. You can check this out on your own phone if you want to verify what I'm saying here. So I looked it up. normal annual precipitation in Oklahoma, let's go Western Oklahoma, for example, Hollis 25.8 inches, Eric 26.2 inches, what is that? Cheyenne 26.8, up there at Arnett 23.5 inches of rain. And we all know where the people pay more for their land live over there, Clinton, going east towards El Reno. They always get a lot more rain. Over here in eastern Oklahoma, they get, southeastern Oklahoma especially, 50, 55 inches of rain. That's the 30-year, that was from 30 years ago. So you go to today, guess what? It's identical. I mean, within a half inch of each other in rainfall total amounts compared to 30 years ago, we are within a half inch. Now, last year, Cheyenne had some big rains come through there, and they had like 35 inches in the Oklahoma Panhandle. It was double, is right now in the current moisture year, is double what they normally got because of some rainfall they got late last summer and early fall. That's the only difference between now and 30 years ago. Our rainfall total amount is within a half inch of each other at all the mezzanine centers.
Does the Jimmy, on the mezzanine, does it break it down to say like...
It does it month by month.
It does it month by month?
It does, and I haven't got that far.
Well, that's what I was wondering, you know, like just to see the comparison of, you know, if it's all coming at one time or versus different, that difference between now and then maybe.
Yeah, and I was just going for total accumulations for a year. And, you know, for tomorrow's show, maybe I'll do a little homework and check out that month by month.
Yeah.
And, you know, because as farmers, the rains never come right.
Oh, yeah. Never does.
Never does. Never will. Every now and then we'll get lucky. You know, we got lucky here, last weekend, got a nice rain all over western Oklahoma. That'll help finish filling the wheat, Truticale and rye, for the most part, if it wasn't too far gone. But they was, anyway. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, more intelligent conversation we was having at the table this morning. Well, welcome to the show, Mr. Spencer Smith.
I guess
you're busy. You're busy, aren't you?
It's that time of year, man. It's I apologize. I was tied up last week. I couldn't come in, and this week we've been getting stuff ready. You know, the weeds are coming too in the fields, like Johnson grass, your grasses,
Marist Hills.
Yeah.
What else do I see? Some of them, what do they call them? Little yellow flowers on them.
Oh, you're, I know what you're talking about.
Honeysuckle? No, honeysuckle. Somebody's listening. Come on, help me out here.
Cockaburs?
No.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, what is it? Somebody text in what it is.
The little yellow flower in the pastures. Yeah.
Something suckers. So anyway, they're coming on, a lot of stuff coming on. But you know what? If everything keeps going and nothing bad happens, it looks like we're going to have some pretty good wheat crops.
I think the wheat and rye, I think you're going to see some really good yields. You know, and I'm not real sure, you know, we kind of went through a dry period there, so I'm really curious to see how that's going to affect
us. Yeah, because it was borderline.
It was borderline trying to fill, and we'll see what happens.
Anyway, your opinion. Do you follow the markets much? Grain markets?
Grains. No, not on grain, no.
So every time we get a rain, the grain prices go down. And funny. When they should be going up, because there's a chance we're going to make more. Mm-hmm. But it comes to a point in the market like right now, we're probably, it is what it is. Except when you get up in Nebraska and Dakotas and up in there where they got, the spring wheat is just the soft red winter wheat's coming up. And so, anyway, it's just like they abuse farmers for getting a rain.
Yep. Yeah,
How do
know.
They abuse cotton farmers?
Man, I tell you what, it seems like the cotton market's so unpredictable, especially last year. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, we were at, 96 cents, 93 cents cotton, you know, there towards, like, the end of February.
Yeah.
Now we're, at 75?
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't really know what to think about
it. And it's a few weeks ago you was in the 90s.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because I haven't seen, you know, I get that.
We need an app.
Buffalo burr. Yeah, that's one of them. There's another one.
There's another one.
Peanut farmers hate them. There's a plant out there.
Doesn't it have all the little stickers on it?
Yeah, that's a buffalo burr, but there's another one out there. It's got yellow flowers and it lays on the ground. And Brian Silk was just telling me the other day it's a hard sucker to kill when they mature.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, somebody will get it in. Yep. Somebody, I'm not going to mention her name, text in dandelions. But no, those are easy to kill. Anyway, so ground temperatures. Let's talk a little farming before we get into the planter deal.
So I heard you say yesterday, you said you had checked yesterday morning.
And I checked again this morning.
What was yours this
morning? It was 57 yesterday morning at daybreak, and it was 58 degrees this morning at daybreak, and that's 4 inches down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're still a little bit out.
Yellow nettle is what's in the pastures.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Thanks, Sean.
You know, I like to see it about 65 degrees on cotton. We still got a little ways to go.
So many days in a row, not just one day?
Yeah, I want to see it a few consecutive days. I mean, I think, you know, like if you have a little cold snap come through like this, I think you'd be okay.
Right.
You know, like say once that soil temperature's up to temperature.
Because it warms up nicely. I checked it yesterday afternoon and it was like 78 degrees.
Oh, yeah, degree. Yeah.
But that overnight temperature.
That overnight goes down.
Yeah, it goes down. We got tulips and roses. So, I don't know where that's coming from. You know, the lady used to be a teacher at Elk City. She's commenting on
she
this.
She might have been one of my teachers.
Yeah, probably yep, so. Because yep. She always tells me to be nice to you.
Yeah, so, yep. That was her favorite student.
But ground temperature's so important because, you know, your seed might germinate and open up.
Yeah.
But if it gets cold, warm, that don't do any good.
Yeah, you know, and like... For farmers, I mean, like, you know, when we talk about, you know, the weather pattern, the rains and everything, you know, that's something that we can't control. But, you know, like one thing we can control is how we plant the seed.
Right.
You know, and when we go and we choose the timing, the depth, the population of the seed, you know, and how we're placing the seed, you know, that is something that we can control. And if you're controlling, you know, if you're doing your part in controlling that, now you're increasing your odds, you know, for a better stand.
Right. And a lot of guys got so much to do. They got to start a little earlier than they want.
It does. And that's part of it. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully you don't have to come back and see that field again after you get done, you know.
Hopefully it's up.
Nothing worse than planting it twice.
Hopefully it's growing by the time you get back around to it.
Yeah, you know, I've had some fields that, you know, that were earlier planted when it was a little colder, you know, and the later stuff will outgrow, you know, it'll definitely outgrow the earlier planted fields.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that. And then anyway, temperature is so important on cotton. I know you said it. Peanuts, you know, not professional on either one of them, so I'm just going to say what I understand. You know, a couple of guys I talked to like to see the ground temperature overnight be in the upper 60s, maybe even 70, at least 3 days in a row.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah, and then get after it.
Yep.
Don't look back.
Yeah.
Because I've been making fun of you-know-who down there on Broadway mm-hmm. with his okra. And so, anyway, yeah. Guess what? He's replanting.
Yeah. Is he replanting right now?
I hope not.
I'd wait just a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, and I got a question here I'll answer real quick. When does hay grazer need to be put in the ground? I just heard an agronomist comment on this a few days ago out here in Western Oklahoma. Be cool for a couple weeks. Be patient.
Yeah. For me, I don't do any hay grazer anymore, but I was like just small scale, you know, for a few cows, but I always waited till after I got done planting cotton.
Right.
But that was, you know, that's, I wasn't doing it for hay, you know, or I was just doing it to turn the cows in. So, you know, it may be a little different for the guys that are planting to get it, you know, going to try to get
it. I think we're still a couple weeks away, according to, Kent Watkins, he was talking about that, you know, because people are wanting to put cover crops in and hay grazer in,
right.
And still a couple weeks away.
Yeah,
it's just the first week of May.
We're just now getting excited, you know.
And yeah, it's not May Day. It's not May Day yet.
No, it's wait till about the end of next week. Then I'm gonna start trying to
get after.
I'm gonna get excited and yeah.
Yeah, neighbor over there was planting peanuts yesterday. But it's work ground, and I'm sure that soil was a little warmer.
Oh, it'll be a lot warmer, yeah.
Yeah, so he was planting it yesterday, so everything's going pretty good. What? Let's get on. Let's talk about planters.
All right, let's do it. So we've been working our way all the way from the tractor back to the planter. And I'll tell you one thing I did think about, and I've actually had this happen to me on my tractor. I've like felt like a vibration or like a knock, like a noise, and it, you know, that's scary, you know, to hear that noise when you're sitting in that cab. And what it was one of my wheel weights, my interior rear wheel weight, had came loose.
Ooh.
And it was just loose enough that
it was vibrating.
It would just vibrate a little bit. So, you know, and that was, you know, something to check, you know, is make sure those bolts on those wheel weights are good and tight.
Right.
Because it'll scare you. It makes you think something's really wrong, you know.
Best thing is to tighten them up and then tack weld them, right?
I'm not going to. There's too much electronics on these tractors. I'm not going to hook a welder up to them.
Sorry, because somebody's done that.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Yeah. If you do that, make sure you undo your grounds for sure.
Yeah. All right. Check everything.
Yeah. Check everything, you know. And so we had talked, you know, about the gauge wheel arms and the seed disc openers. And so I want to talk a little bit about gauge wheels, you know, like for ag, that's what we manufacture is the gauge wheel tires. And, you know, one thing we need to do is, so like say an OEM rubber tire, what happens to them is the edge that's spinning next to your seed disc will start to wear out, or it'll get little like chips of rubber broken off. So what happens when those little chips get broken off next to that lip on your seed disc, every time that tire goes around, it's going to flick dry dirt into your seed trench.
Oh, okay.
So it's just constantly putting that. So now you got the dirt flicking from the gauge wheel tire, and then your row cleaner is covering your soil back up on top of that dry dirt on top of your seed.
Right.
So that lip is really important on your planters next to that seed disc.
All right. Hey, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, we can continue this conversation because there's questions coming in. There's even one that says, tell Spencer he better hurry.
I don't know.
He has
what
a
am
date.
I hurrying for?
He has a date at Sarah with a piece of cake.
Oh, that is right. I bet Roy sent that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and he forgot to text me, and I forgot all about that. That was a special over there today.
All right, well, we'll be right back so we can hurry up and get Spencer to serve.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
A whole herd of 2024 F-150s are stampeding at Barber Dyson Ford. In the northeast part of Elk City, we think it's truck month all year long. On the 2024 F-150s, we've got rebates up to $2,500 and options on low interest rates. Now's the time to get your family hauler with big rebates and interest as low as 0% on SUVs. Bart Dyson Ford wants your business. We'll give you more for your trade-in and do everything we can to get you in the new or pre-owned vehicle of your dreams. Next to the airport in Oak City and online at BartDysonFord.net.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is proud to announce they're now offering the High Energy Liquid Livestock Feed Mix 30. This liquid protein fat supplement is for cattle on grass or hay forage and is now available at SEI Agritech for pickup or delivery. They also have half semi or semi loads available. For more information, give Ken a call at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317 or stop by the SEI Agritech location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
CNH Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Crossbrand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. CNH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free, biodegradable lick tubs. CNH Feed and Supply is a place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. CNH, serving the area since 1926. Visit your local CNH, and they'll get you all fixed up.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here we go. Let's see who I want to get up there. Let's go with Alva. How about that? Alva, here is your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. 75 degrees currently. The winds are out of the northeast at 11. Wind gust up to 19. 10-day rain total. 95 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average bare, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 64 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Let's see here. Sunset at 8:29. Sunny and 80 today. Tonight, a little chilly, 48 degrees. Tomorrow, 77 degrees with north winds, 7 to 14 miles an hour. Spencer Smith with four ag products are in here. Anyway, hey, I got a question to ask you before we get off on strawberry cake.
Yeah, what's all South
that? Dang, Ashley, I mean, why would she Texas a picture of their cake?
I know. I tell you, I can't even focus now. That's all I'm thinking about. I know. Strawberry cake at Southbound.
It looked good. Like. And so are you going to have your cotton done by the time your wedding gets here?
So the wedding's June 22nd.
Okay.
Cotton. It has to be done. So,
I seen your fiance post that on Facebook last night. I was looking at the calendar.
Cutting her close. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But yeah, man, it looks like she's well worth it. So she seems like sweetheart. Matter of fact, she might be coming on tomorrow or Friday on the show. We're going to talk about property lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yep. She might be. She might not be. We'll see. And anyway, she's busy.
That'll be good. You know, that's really important too. I mean, make sure you keep everything straight and correct, you know?
Yep.
And I don't know enough about it to even be talking about it. But
I know enough to get me in trouble.
Yeah, we'll be spreading fake news.
I know of a few instances the sheriff's department had to come out and watch the surveyor resurvey the pins that had been pulled up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've seen that.
Yeah.
Not cool. So anyway, all right, back to our planters. You was talking about your wheel weight now, just checking everything.
So like on the gauge wheel tires, you know, he's talking about to where if there's any chips in like an OEM tire, it'll flip the dry soil like into your seed trench, and that tire really needs to be running like perfect next to that disc. And so like our tires, that the 4AG tire is, it's about as perfect of a tire as you can get for your seed disc, because it's precision machined on the inside, so that rim fits perfect.
Right.
And that's one of the big things about ours. And so, like, you know, when they spin next to that seed disc, they're just spinning about as true as you can get them. And it's really important. That's really important. As far as like our tires, they're easy to put together. You can do it with a rubber mallet instead of having to put like a press and press the metal half into the rubber tire. So there's a lot of advantages there. And then we also have a three-year manufacturer warranty on them also.
Yeah. And and everybody I talk to loves them.
Man, So far, knock on wood, we've had great luck with them.
Right.
And they've been holding up, to like some of those big guys, like the big farmers, like in the Dakotas and stuff, those guys are going over gobs of acres.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah, like 40 to 60,000 acres a year, and where they were changing tires at least two times per season, now they're getting I'm going to say at least 2 years out of them, maybe longer.
Right.
Depending on,
So they're not shutting down in the middle of planting.
They're not shutting down in all that labor.
Every year.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, because.
Yeah, they'll pay for themselves a lot real fast, in that first year by the time you figure in labor and changing them out.
Is the wear and tear on a small planter, say like a 6-row planter, compared to what's the big planter?
24 row. I mean, it just kind of depends, because everything will go off your acres per row.
Right.
So, like on a 6-row, if you're planting 1,000 acres versus a 24-row planting 1,000 acres, your wear is going to be a lot less.
Per row. Right.
So we go like acres per row pretty much on everything. So, we're getting really good life out of them. And I would say, a lot of your, like when you get into Arkansas, a lot of those are still 12-row. They're still 12-row planters, but they may be one farmer may have eight of them.
Right.
There's some big, really big operations over there in southern Arkansas.
So, and I know you spend a lot of time over there in Arkansas and other states. Why are they still with 12 rows? Is it because they got so many numerous fields and they're not just all one field?
It's getting from field to field. That's a lot of their deal. And
12 row planter is a big sucker.
Yeah. And when you start figuring a 12 row planter, this is just my opinion, but some of their fields may be only 80 acres.
Right.
That 24 row planter is going to go in there and knock it out, and it's going to be a lot of turning,
Right.
To where, if they have multiple 12 rows, this 12 row can go to that 80, this one can go to this 60, that 40, or that 100, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's why they're running more planters versus one bigger piece of equipment. But like when you get up north, straight north of us, that's when you get into a larger single planter.
Because they got big old fields.
You got big old fields.
I've said this before on the show, the biggest field, cornfield I ever seen when I was going back and forth to work to North Dakota is right there in South Dakota when I stopped for a restroom break and the farmer caught me in there. And anyway, I got to talking to him, he got to looking, I said, "How big is this cornfield?" He said, 6,000 acres, one field.
Yeah, it's crazy. And in Arkansas, one of the biggest fields that I seen when I went down there was it was about a little over 1,000, and that's a big field anyways, but it's just one of those that lays in the river bottom,
right?
And it just follows and it never stops,
right? So anyway,
it's just a very unique spot. But hey, you want to know something kind of neat? This is something that I found, like a fun fact. Like on a U.S. dollar bill, it's made up of 75% cotton.
Really?
Yeah. Thought that was pretty neat.
U.S. cotton?
I don't know.
It better be.
Yeah. We put them on the spot on that one, huh?
Yeah. Is that 75%?
It did not say that.
75% cotton.
Yep, 75%. So, let's see. Let's see here. So, one bale of cotton can make $313,000 $100 bills.
Really?
On one bale of cotton. I thought that was pretty
That'd
cool.
That'd be kind of handy to have in the safety deposit box.
That would be handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you could be a little late with cotton plant in 1 year, yep, probably. Yep. But that, anyway, so that's pretty interesting. So,
yeah.
So have you heard why, what's going on with cotton, why the price is down?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard anything.
Because usually they'll say, well, demand of buying overseas is down or something like that. But they haven't said squat.
No, you know, the people I talk to and stuff, they haven't said anything to me either. So, you know, and another thing to think about on the cotton too is, you know, our heat units. You know, a cotton plant needs about 2200 to 2600 degree day heat units. And, you know, and that's going to depend on, you know, I guess the type of cotton or the variety. Also, right, on how many heat units you're going to need to make that plant.
How many varieties of cotton are planted in Oklahoma do you know?
Man, there's no telling. There's so many out there. I mean,
is the cotton seeds for like southwestern Oklahoma, is it developed right here in Oklahoma so it's adapted to it? Or is
so I know there's some seed cotton grown in like Altus area,
right?
And there's some of those varieties though that, like, even though, like, say if there's seed cotton like in Arkansas, it's still okay
for over here
from what I understand. Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Right. I got a guy texting in, I'm going to try to plant cotton beginning May 15th, which that might not be a bad time.
Yeah, and it's pretty close.
Yeah, and have I heard of much hail damage to wheat? No, I have not. But the deal I did hear was from my pappy-in-law up there in Billings, and he said over by, I'm going to say around Lahoma or maybe south of there, that town started with a C, the pumper that does his wells by his house, said there was a swath, I don't know how wide the swath was, 6 miles long, the wheat was laying on the ground.
Oh, wow.
It was hammered. That's the only report of hail damage I've heard of.
Yeah, you know, and, hopefully this weather will hold out for us to where we can get these wheat and rye crops out.
Yeah, and we're still ways. They're still pretty green, yep, and so we're, yep, still pretty good away. Yep. Well, Spencer, thanks what else you got there on the plan?
No, just next week we'll probably talk about some closing wheels, and then we're pretty much working our way back to the planter. One thing I was going to add is on your planter, if you're using like a firming wheel in between your seed tube and the closing wheel system, you know, make sure those firming wheels are in good shape. And then also, like, so if some people run a Keaton seed firmer, which is that little plastic piece that comes down and curls. Yeah. And it, you know, and it's just made to where when you put your planter in the ground, it just holds just the right amount of pressure to where it'll just push that seed slightly in to keep it from moving.
Okay.
So one thing that I've noticed, and I've noticed this on some of mine on my planter, I'm going to replace a few, but over time those Keaton seed firmers will kind of get bent.
Okay.
They won't all be perfect. And when they start getting bent like that, just go ahead and replace them, because that's going to cause maybe drags in the seed. Okay. To where when it hits that seed, it may drag it to the next seed before it lets go. So that's something to keep in mind also.
All right. And I got one last question for you.
Sure.
On cotton seed.
Okay.
Is there a different, like corn and Milo, you got different dates, seed, like you could have 110-day corn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got your early mids and longs.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because I know those guys up there north Oklahoma and Kansas are growing cotton now.
Yep.
And I would think their season would be way shorter.
It's way short, you know, and the shorter the season, the lower the quality.
I got you.
Yep.
But they're still putting them in round bales up
there. They're still doing it. And, we've ran into situations where, you know, we'll start with our longer growing season planting first, you know, and then say if we start getting rains and that starts getting us closer to that deadline, you know, starts getting us into June, there's been times where we've, you know, changed that seed variety and go to a shorter season.
Okay.
You know, if we have to. That way we'll, you know, make sure it'll finish out.
All right. Cool. Well, Spencer, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, it's not too late. Looks like she had a half a pan of cake left.
I know. Roy texted me and asked me if he wants me to save him a piece.
So, anyway, thanks, Spencer Smith, coming in. And we'll see you next week. And we're going to take a Taylor Ranch break, come back, and we'll finish up the show.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyard. Folks, we are seeing cattle bring top prices right here home. We're competitive with Oklahoma City. We have proven on several occasions with the trust of local bigger cattle producers top prices, less work, travel time, and greater returns on their cattle right here at home. We have great working relationships with private independent buyers to guarantee you top prices for your cattle. We have the cleanest and best facilities to handle your cattle. Fresh water and quality hay out at all times. We do not receive chronically sick, injured, or trailer cattle. We only sell the best at Hobart Stockyard.
Hobart Stockyards at 580-726-3306.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Southwest Overhead Door has provided sales, service, and installation of garage doors to Western Oklahoma and the East Texas Panhandle since 1980. If you're in the market for a new overhead door for your home or business, let Southwest Overhead Door show you their selection of quality CHI overhead doors by visiting 1000 South Merritt Road in Elk City or visit them online at swdoorelkcity.com. A CHI overhead door professionally installed by Southwest Overhead Door provides beauty and value to your home or business.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 3rd. 1,305 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 337 brought 410. 4 at 425 brought 340. 5 at 471 brought 3. 8 at 579 brought 317. 2 at 665 brought 260. 6 at 752 brought 245. 8 at 869 brought 227.50. 11 head of heifers at 389 brought 328. 5 at 489 brought 292. 4 at 516 brought 286. 8 at 583 brought 263, 4 at 655 brought 247, 30 at 712 brought 235, 3 at 1017 brought 188, butcher cows were 30 to 145, butcher bulls brought 115 to 165, bred cows were 1285 to 2300, pairs brought 1100 to 2800, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Blair, Oklahoma. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 79 degrees. Dew points 49, humidity's 35. The winds are out of the north at 11. 10-day rain total, 1.18 inches of rain. Thought you guys got a little more than that. But anyway, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 69 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.4, sunset at 8:28. 86 for a high today with west winds 7 to 13 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, 54. West winds coming back out of the north after midnight. And tomorrow, 79, a little cooler, 79 degrees. Northeast winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Southwestern Oklahoma, if you got any spraying to do, I think you're going to have an opportunity to do it this afternoon. Not going to be a whole lot of wind after that northern come through there. Anyway, I want to try this, guys. Be patient with me. I want to see Tyron Spearman's got an update on some of the farm bill deal, and he's got a pretty interesting deal. So I'm going to try it off of a different computer. So you guys hang tight with me and see if this works.
It's time for Farm and Ranch headlines on the Southeast AgNet. I'm Tyron Spearman reporting. Major progress made last week on the farm bill in the House and the Senate as they are putting together their plan as a commodity hub. They said they would provide certainty to farmers by making payments under the Price Loss Coverage, or PLC, program and the Agricultural Risk Coverage, or ARC, more likely to trigger and improve emergency disaster assistance. And under the plan, or under the bill, all major covered commodities will see at least a 5% increase in reference prices during the 24 Farm Bill, with many seeing up to 10 to 15% increase. But that's good coming from the Senate side. On the House side, they said the way they would help the commodity area would be aid farmer in managing risk and provide assistance following precipitous declines in commodity prices. Although the authorization and enhancement of a commodity market loan could be helpful on sugar, dairy, and disaster programs, they said they would increase the support for price loss coverage, the PLC, on agricultural risk. Again, they're talking about a 5% increase would be the first jump on the PLC and the ARC. They would provide authority to expand base acres to include producers who currently cannot participate in either of those programs. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
It worked. I'm a genius. It only took me 3 years to figure out how to do that. The way I was doing it before, my listeners in the Woodward, out of the Woodward area, northwestern Oklahoma, and Facebook couldn't hear what I was playing. So I tried something different, and I'm impressed. I'm intelligent. I'm an Einstein. Cool. I'm glad everybody got to listen to that. All right, here's an update on some ag losses in the Texas wildfires. Texas A&M AgriLife Blair Fannin reported Monday that the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service economists project the Panhandle wildfires caused $123 million in preliminary agriculture losses, making it the costliest on record. The losses include more than 12,000 cattle deaths, lost grazing values, and fence repair costs, according to economists. Fannin reported the initial loss estimate spanned from February through the middle of March. And that doesn't include, from what I understand, you know, the cows that were lost had babies in them, because it was right there, calving season. Fannin reported that economists estimate $68.7 million in loss to ranch infrastructure, fences, barns, corrals, well pump motors, windmills, stocks of hay or feed. They estimate $26 million in losses to long-term grazing and fire damage pastures and range and short-term emergency feeding. Finally, they estimated $27 million in cattle losses due to wildfires. Livestock loss estimates include both cows and estimated losses to the season's calf crop. All right. I stand corrected. This is the first one that they've put out with that one. Another $1 million in miscellaneous losses include disposal costs for deceased animals and forced marketing losses. In addition, the Texas Tribune, Jamae Lonzo Carver, reported at the beginning of May that hundreds of water wells were also destroyed in the fires that raged through the panhandle. According to the report, this has eliminated sources of water for people and livestock in the region, creating another hurdle to overcome, like getting people out there to drill them some new water wells and stuff. These losses estimates are likely to continue to grow as more details emerge as the wildfires remain high this spring, said David Anderson, PhD, AgriLife, Extension Livestock Marketing Economist at Bryan College Station. The fires, the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, Alex Driggers reported this past Sunday that the Smoke Creek Fire, Texas' largest ever wildfire, the Windy Deuce, and several other blazes sparked February 26th and burned for weeks until they were fully contained in mid-March, contributing to the deaths of three people, 15,000 head of cattle, destroying 138 homes and businesses, and scorching more than a million acres in the Texas Panhandle, including Oklahoma. The Smokehouse Creek fire alone burned 1.1 million acres. The cause of the biggest fire in Texas, a decayed utility pole that broke, causing power wires to fall on dry grass in the Texas Panhandle, sparked it, according to a House committee in the Texas House. There you go. Hope you guys enjoyed today. See you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.